Hello, this is Dr. Alyssa Rankin. I'm here with Amy Ehlers, and
Hello,
we're
everyone.
here with our Visionary Ignition Switch class, and we're so excited to introduce you to Arielle Ford. Amy, you want to do the honors?
I would love to, yes. I'm so delighted. Arielle is a leading pioneer and personality in the personal growth and contemporary spiritual movement, and she's been someone that I've encountered on my path a few years back, and is just, she's a rock star. She's been, for the past 25 years, she's been living, teaching, and promoting consciousness through every single form of media out there. And her incredible career includes years as a prominent book publicist, author, literary agent, TV lifestyle reporter, television producer, radio show, publishing consultant, relationship expert, speaker, columnist, blogger for the Huffington Post. I mean, seriously, she has done it all. She really has done it all, and she has such an amazing, unique perspective to offer us because she's been on so many different sides of the coin. She was instrumental in launching the careers of many New York Times best-selling self-help authors, including just, you know, that chump, you know, Deepak Chopra, or that person that hasn't done that well, Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, Neil Donald Walsh, Debbie Ford, and she was the publicist for dozens of others' top-selling authors. And she's a gifted writer and author in her own right of 7 books, including The Soulmate Secret, which is now in 21 languages. And she's also the creator of the at-home publishing study course, Everything You Should Know About Publishing, Publicity, and Building a Platform, and the annual 21st Century Book Marketing event, which is absolutely the premier book marketing event for authors. I've been there every year since I found out about it. I was honored to be on a panel for it last year, and I'm just absolutely delighted to be able to get some of her wisdom for all of you today. So welcome, Arielle.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you guys.
Well, to start us off, Arielle, you've been through such an incredible journey in this industry on so many different levels. Can you just tell us a little bit about how you made the leap, like where you started, and then how you made the leap to where you are today? The Reader's Digest version.
I would say it was a slow crawl rather than any kind of a leap. And it was all a big, fat accident. And here's what happened. In 1991, I saw this guy speaking about his wife and this crazy little book that she made for him about how to treat her right. And it was such a killer idea. I said to her, you should turn that into a book. Even though I didn't know anything about the book business, it was a book I wanted to buy. And I kept talking to her about it, but I knew she was never going to do it. And finally I said to her, why don't you and I write this book together, and then I'll figure out how to get it published, because the world needs this book. So we wrote this book, and I didn't know a thing about publishing. So I got out the yellow pages. Remember those phone books? in L.A., and I looked up under publishers, and there was a publisher in West L.A. that I'd heard of. They used to do these books called Mad Libs books. Remember those? Mad Libs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love those.
And I got down their address, and I put my book in the mail with a cover letter. I was a publicist, so I knew how to write good cover letters. And 2 weeks later, they called and invited me in for a meeting and said, we want to make you an offer. We think this is a great idea for a book. And they handed me a contract, and even though I'm not a lawyer, I read the contract. And in the contract, it said, we will pay you a 7.5% royalty for the paperback rights to this book. And I got pissed off. I was like, 7.5% of the retail price of our genius book? What a ripoff. And I turned them down because, of course, I didn't know that that is the standard royalty rate for a paperback. I was just insulted that a major national publisher wanted to steal my great idea. So what did I do? I mortgaged my house. I took out a $50,000 second mortgage and bought a book on self-publishing and book marketing and decided to put my life at risk to get this book out there. Now, the story is really long. I don't have time to tell you the whole story.
Yeah.
But the end of the story is I blew a lot of money and ended up with a warehouse full of books.
Oh my gosh.
What happened along the way was I couldn't find anybody to tell me how book publicity was different from other kinds of publicity. So I had to make it up. And I got my book a ton of publicity, and I got into 400 Barnes & Noble stores. And even though I didn't really make any money, I got a firsthand education on how the publishing industry works and how to get publicity for books. Since no one was going to teach me, I made it up, which ended up being a blessing in disguise, because had somebody told me the quote-unquote rules of book publicity, I would not have been so successful. But because I didn't know the rules, I did things that I thought were cool, and I got massive amounts of publicity. So that's how I got started in this crazy business, because I had come out of the corporate PR world where I did a lot of events and sporting events and art galleries and hotels and nonprofits. And here I am in 1991 with a giant debt and a book, but this new skill set called book publicity. And I ended up having this sort of dark night of the soul, like, what am I going to do with my life and what should I be doing? And anyway, somebody very smartly said to me, if you could represent any person, place, or thing in the world, what would it be? This is 1992. And I said to my friend, well, there's this author out there. You've probably never heard of him. Nobody's ever heard of him, but I think he's the best-kept secret in America. His name is Dr. Deepak Chopra. And my friend said to me, well, not only have I heard of him, but my friend works for him, and I'm going to introduce you to her. So 3 hours later, I'm on the phone talking to this woman named Penny, who says to me, such interesting timing. Dr. Chopra's coming to L.A. next week, and he needs a publicist. I'm going to set up a meeting. So
oh, my gosh.
Later, I walk into a room, and Deepak's there, and he introduces himself, and the first words out of his mouth are, I only have 5 minutes to talk to you. And I said, fine, I only need two. And he said, go. And I said, if you're as smart as I think you are, you'll hire me today to be your publicist. And he said, deal. And that was the start of a 12-year working relationship.
Wow.
And, you know, what I – and then from there I ended up working with, you know, probably every major self-help, personal growth, spiritual author on the planet, because I had set this intention that I only wanted to work with people, places, and things that were contributing to the planet. So that's the very, very, very short version of how I got into the crazy world of publishing.
That's an awesome story, Arielle. And as an author who has worked with publicists, you know, it's been so interesting not really knowing much about that world to try to navigate that. And I know a lot of our students are exactly the people that you say, you know, you've wanted to represent. Like, they're looking to change the world. They have a vision for healing and elevating the world, and they don't really know how to get their message out there. So I'd love to hear sort of from your publicist background, when people are like that, when they have a message, a book, a vision, a product, whatever, that is really aimed at trying to change the world, you know, where do they start? Like, do they need to hire a publicist?
Well,
is there
know,
stuff to do on your own?
It's changed so much. I retired from book publicity 8 years ago, and in that 8 years, it's completely, utterly changed. So let me just back up a little bit. The thing that I learned along the way that has people be successful is that they're on a mission. That even if they never made a dime from sharing their message, they would do it anyway, that they cannot not share their message. That's who they are. That's why they're on the planet. So Deepak was never focused on how much money can I make. You know, Marianne Williamson wasn't thinking about, oh, how much money can I teach, how much money can I make teaching A Course in Miracles. In fact, you know, all her lectures were, you know, $7 at the door, if you could afford it, and if you couldn't, you didn't have to pay anything at all. And yet these people went on to make millions. Now, why did this happen? They were being true to their mission, true to their dharma of who they are and what they're up to, and they were not financially driven. Now, I don't know that this is true of every self-help author out there, but I noticed that in my practice, it was true of the ones that became most successful. And the ones who never quite made it to the top of the New York Times list were the ones who were the most focused on how much money can I make? Or their ego is totally out of control. Like I had this one client who will remain nameless, who every time I set up a radio interview for him would always say to me, well, is this a 50,000 watt station? As if it mattered whether it was a 10,000 watt or a 50,000 watt station. But in his mind, somebody had told him, only do radio interviews on 50,000 watt stations. Just like today, somebody might say, well, internet radio is not worth doing because it's not terrestrial radio. So I would say the first thing you need to know, you need to decide is, are you committed to your mission? Is this something you're willing to do, even if it doesn't make you rich? You know, and if the answer is yes, then you're probably in the right place, hanging out with you guys, learning how to ignite everything. If you're all about the money, then I would tell you right now, get out. There is no money in books. I'm going to say it over and over again. There is no money in books. And I'll do the math for you. Let's say your book sells for $13, and it's a paperback, and you're getting 7.5% of that $13. Let's just make up a number. Let's say that's $2. It's not even that much. And then you have to pay taxes on that money, and you have to pay 15% to your agent. So let's say you're going to net 80 cents a book, and you sell 50,000 books, which is a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
That's a lot.
You still have enough money to live on. And here's a fact that is the absolute truth. According to the CEO of Barnes & Noble, less than half of 1% of all the books sold every year ever sell 50,000 copies. So if you were to sell 50,000 copies at 80 cents a book, you would be in the half of 1%. So there's no money in books. Now, why do you need a book? You absolutely have to have a book because the book is your ticket into the media game. The book gives you credibility. The book is the reason why you're going to get interviewed. So you have to have a book, but the money's not in the books. The money's in the speaking fees and in the teleseminar fees and in the big package fees and all the ancillary products. So if you're thinking, I want to be an author speaker expert because I'm going to get rich, go get a real job. Okay?
I love
it. Don't waste anybody's time. Go get a real job. But if you have a message to share, if you must share this message, if you're on a mission, if you want to change people's lives and change the world, then dive in and don't quit your day job. You know? And
yeah.
someday you might make enough money that it's your sole source of income, but it won't be the first year, and it won't be the second year, and it won't be the third year. And does that mean you should give up? No, absolutely not. I'm a very successful author. I get six-figure advances anytime I want to write a book, and I still have a full-time job. You know? And that's just how it is. I write in the mornings, at nights, on weekends. I do workshops on weekends. I do teleseminars at night. But I still have to have a job. You know?
Oh my gosh, I love this. I love that there is just truth being said. I love it. And so I want everyone listening right now to really do that gut check. Are you on a mission? And we know that the vast majority of you that are here with us on the Visionary Ignition Switch journey, that you are on a mission. And so getting real and being real about what even success means when you're an author. And so I'm wondering, Ariel, can you tell us some of the biggest mistakes that wannabe authors, so to speak, those of you who aren't really an author or a best-selling author yet, what are those biggest mistakes that they make?
Well, the first one is they don't understand how the game works. You know, it's like saying, oh, I need a new car, and I'm going to order a kit, and I'm going to build a car, you know. And then the kit comes, and there's this big box full of pieces, but you have no idea to put it together. It's really essential that you understand how publishing works, because it's a very counterintuitive, nonsensical, crazy world. You can't just figure it out. What most people do is say, oh, okay, I need to write a book. And then they sit down and they write the whole book.
Right. I did that.
Right.
Yeah, I did that too.
And then sometimes what they do right after they write the book is they decide to print the book. And they spend all this money binding the book. And then that's usually when they used to call me. Oh, okay, I just got delivery of 10,000 copies of my book. Now what do I do?
Yeah.
Well, they completely blew it because they don't know how distribution works. They don't know how the media works. They don't know that not no magazine in the world's ever going to write a book that's already in print. You know, they want to hear about it 6 months before.
Right.
So
right.
Really understanding the world of publishing and how it works and what a platform is and why a platform is so important and why you need to start blogging today before you ever write your book. And before you write the book, you need to write the proposal and all of that. So there's just that's the biggest mistake I see. People just make assumptions. Oh, I'm going to be an author. I'm going to write a book, and they sit down and write the book. Or the other thing that they do, which, and this one drives me crazy, is they decide, oh, what kind of book should I write that will make me rich and famous?
Right.
So they don't write a book out of their passion, like I'm crazy about teaching people how to eat raw food and get healthy. They write a book out of some story they make up out of, I think the world needs a book about XYZ, and they're writing it because they're trying to get to a particular goal as opposed to what they're passionate about. So those are the things I see most often in terms of the biggest mistakes. And then the people that really make it, the ones that I've seen that are most successful, are the ones that tend to be more thoughtful, more intuitive. They have a vision for themselves. They see themselves as teachers. They're givers, not takers. And they're not afraid of hard work because there's nothing easy about this world. Learning how to craft a good book is an art form. It takes time. You have to write. Learning how to be a good speaker takes lots of practice. It does. Yeah. We're not born great speakers. You know, it requires doing it over and over again most of the time for free for the first few years. You know, being a good connector. You know, playing in a win-win atmosphere. The thing that people always think I'm kidding when I tell them this, but the people you most want to partner with when you're an author are the people that you once would have called your competitors. So I write about relationships and finding love. And you would think that Catherine Woodward Thomas, who wrote Calling in the One, would be my competition because I wrote The Soulmate Secret and we both write about manifesting love. But in my world, there's no better partner for me than Catherine or Claire Zammit teaching Calling in the One for me to partner with because we're reaching the same audience. And just like a cook doesn't learn to cook with just one cookbook, people who are serious about cooking have 30 cookbooks, people who are serious about finding love have read 10 books.
Right.
So you want to go out and make friends with the people that in the 80s or 90s you would have said are my competition, but the truth is they are your best promotional partners.
There's so much more power in collaboration than competition. It's
definitely
been much of the secret of my success.
Yeah, absolutely. Mine too. I want to be friends with everybody.
Exactly.
You know, now, does it make sense for me to be partnered with people who are teaching you how to get rich? No, not really, because my list doesn't look to me for that information. They want me to tell them how to find love.
Right.
You know, if they want to learn how to get rich, they'll go talk to, you know, T. Harv Eker, some of those kinds of guys.
Right.
So it doesn't make sense for me to partner with them. But, you know, if somebody else has got another piece of the puzzle of what it takes to manifest love, that's who I want to play with.
Well, and you're both in service to the same calling. So in supporting people and collaborating with people that have the same vision and mission that you do, you know, when you help them achieve it, you're all helping each other.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I totally agree. Ariel, you mentioned blogging and that sort of thing. Get started now if you're thinking about getting your message out there, being a visionary, getting a book out there. Can you talk a little bit about platform building sort of with the expertise from your background?
Sure. So a platform is the combination of your blogging, your social media, your speaking engagements, your media appearances, your newsletters, your email lists. All of that combined is called a platform, and that's what a publisher looks for. That's what they're buying. You may have written a very wonderful book. They're not buying your book. They're buying your platform. They're buying your access to buyers for the book. So it's really important to start building that as early as possible, maybe even long before you know what your book's about. And you can get onto WordPress.com and start blogging for free. And what you want to do is be consistent about it. So if you're going to blog once a week, great, or twice a week, or two times a month, you just want to start writing and writing things that are interesting to read and building an audience and getting your RSS feed out there and then repurposing your blogs into newsletters and start doing the occasional teleseminar and aligning with other people in your field so you can be guests on their series and you can have them guests on yours and start building traffic. I mean, we'd need to have a 17-hour call to go through everything I know about this, but it's a process, and you're not expected to know it all at once. But what I would expect out of the people on this kind of a call is that you'd be studying with multiple teachers at one time. You would go to my 21st Century Book Marketing event. You would look at my Everything You Should Know package. You would go to the Harrison Brothers PR meetings in New York, and you would get out there and study with everybody, learn what's working, begin networking with other authors that you can partner with and cross-promote with, and start to get yourself out there, because you can't do this alone and you can't do it in your home office. You need to get out and what I call exchange molecules with other human beings and build relationships and start to build your own audience. And that's just a slow growth process. There is no fast way to build a platform.
I love that. Well, and so I just really want to highlight something that you said. Take out my yellow highlighter markers. I like to do. You said something really interesting. You said the publishers are not buying your book. They are buying access to your platform.
Yes.
And I think that that is so important for everyone. And whether you go with a traditional publisher or you self-publish, the publisher is going to be investing in your platform. And if you're self-publishing, then you need to invest in your platform. So it's like there's no getting around it. You must have a platform and put your time and energy into there and into really building one.
Yep, that's it. You got it.
Yeah, well, and I know, you know, we interviewed Reed Tracy of Hay House about this question, and I would love the answer to this question from you as well, given your background in PR and now as an author. What are publishers looking for?
Platform. That's what they want. That's the only thing they want. Of course, you know, after all that platform, then they want to know that you have fresh ideas and a highly readable form and that you're a hard worker and that you're going to, you know, give them a book proposal that has a very extensive marketing section so that they know that they have a true partner to sell the books. Because it's hard to sell books. I mean, people think, oh, gosh, you know, I'm going to go out there and take the world by storm. And, you know, if you sell 20,000 books, you're a rock star. It's really hard to sell 20,000 books, you know. So they're looking for smart, hardworking people with a platform and fresh ideas that can write and can speak and are willing to work their butts off.
I love it. Well, and I'm curious. I know that there's some, you know, PR can be a key to people, getting people to buy their books. We talked about a little bit about radio and getting some PR, but what can people do to start getting PR before they have a book? How do you even get in front of the PR people out there?
Well, you can hire them. They're all available for sale, and it's just a matter of budget. But you have to really ask yourself, what kind of PR do you need and why, and what's the right time to have it? And, you know, getting on to, let's say, the Today Show. It doesn't really make any sense for you to get on the Today Show until your book is in bookstores.
Yeah.
You know, and even then, that's not going to guarantee that you're going to be a bestseller. Does it make sense to do radio interviews early? Yes, because the more you talk about your book and your work, the more you know how to language it and the more adept you get at taking calls from callers and being good on your feet, the better speaker you're going to become. You know, I am much better at talking about The Soulmate Secret today, 4 years after it first came out, than I was on the day that it was published.
Yep.
Because I've had all this practice, and people have asked me questions that I never considered before I wrote the book. And I have this depth of knowledge about my own work that I didn't have while I was writing the book.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting onto radio interviews is pretty easy, and there's lots of PR firms that you can pay a flat fee to. And for a flat fee, they'll guarantee you so many interviews. So you can get that practice. Or, you know, these days you can pay to have your own radio show and become a good interviewer. You can go to Blog Talk Radio or I can't think of the names of the other ones out there, but you basically pay to have your own radio show. So there are ways to get exposure. You just have to figure out what the right timing is. And most PR professionals won't charge you for an initial consultation. If you're serious and you have a budget, you know, you could go in and say, you know, I've got $15,000 to invest in a PR campaign to raise my profile and build my brand. If I were to pay you $15,000 over 3 months, what would you do for me? And they'll write you a proposal. And you could go to four or five people and get proposals for all of them. But then when you meet with them, you need to seriously vet them out, and you need to ask them questions like, okay, if I hire you, are you the person who's going to pick up the phone and call the Today Show, or who is? Because you want the person who's making the phone calls on your behalf sitting in the room with you. Because generally the person who owns the PR firm is a salesperson, and they're a pro at giving great meeting, and they'll wow you. But once you sign on the dotted line, you may be assigned to the most junior person on the staff who doesn't have that skill set, and suddenly you're with a publicist who can't produce results for you because you met with the CEO who doesn't do the smiling and dialing anymore. So, you know, these are just some of the things that we teach people how to do in my Everything You Should Know About Publishing, Publicity, and Building a Platform home study course, so that you know what to ask, you know how to interact, so that you don't end up wasting a lot of money.
That's so super valuable, Arielle. I know I have interviewed and had those conversations with multiple publicists and PR firms that have ranged from like $1,500 a month to $15,000 a month.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was really
expensive.
Yeah. It was really confusing from my end, because I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is a huge price differential, and it wasn't super clear to me after those interviews, like, why would I pay so much more? And so I wound up hiring some people that didn't cost as much, and they didn't do anything. Like, literally, all of my publicity came from me, and they, you know, some of those people just wound up kind of booking the details, which my assistant could have done.
Right.
So do you have any tips for that? Like,
to talk to their former clients. You have to say, give me some references. I want to talk to other authors. And then you call them up and you'd say, you know, do you feel you got your money's worth? You know, what were they good at? What did they promise you that they didn't deliver on? What are their weak spots? And, you know, these days, it used to be like when I had my PR firm, we did everything. We booked TV, radio, magazines, print. You know, we did it all, and this was pretty much pre-internet days.
Right.
But today, if I were going to go into my own pocket for PR, I would hire specialists. I would hire somebody to only book national TV or to only book radio or to only do, you know, blog tours, because everybody's got their specialty, and I only want the thing that they're most good at.
Mm. That's great advice. That's great advice. How can people find something like that? Like, if they're looking for, okay, I just want to do television, what's the best way to find somebody who's doing that?
Well, I mean, that's why you need to get out to these events and network, because a lot of these publicists are speaking at the book marketing events.
Okay.
Or the authors are out there. If you see an author and you see them on a lot of shows, you know, you can find anybody's email these days. You could email them, oh, I saw you on the Ellen Show. Who's your publicist? Who's doing such a job for you? That's how Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen found me in 1996. They kept seeing Deepak Chopra's name everywhere. They told me some story that they were in China, and they saw a magazine article about him, and they decided to hunt me down because they wanted to know how Deepak was getting so much exposure, and that's why they hired me. So, you know, it takes a little bit of research, but, you know, the good ones aren't that hard to find. Even you can find press releases on the Internet, and the publicist's name and phone number is always listed on the press release. So see who's getting the exposure.
How much can people expect to pay for good PR?
Well, you said it yourself, from $1,500 to $15,000 a month.
Yeah, but what I paid wasn't good PR. So I'm just
That's why you have to vet them individually.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to make sure that your topic is their sweet spot. You know,
right.
Not everybody's good at everything. Somebody who's doing high-tech PR is not going to be good at a spiritual self-help book.
Right.
Well, it just seems so important to talk to, and this again goes back to the networking and the relationship building, and look at someone who is successful at it, who's getting on the shows that you want to be on, and going back and asking them. And I think PR is such an interesting thing. In your experience, Arielle, as an author, what has your publishing house done for you around PR, and what do you feel like is the norm these days? What can people count on their publisher to do for them?
There is no norm. I'm with Harper One, which is a division of HarperCollins, and their PR team happens to be, I think, the best out of all the major publishers. And, you know, I've got a long history with them. My sister's with them also. So, you know, they take really good care of me, and they got me onto the Today Show and some other big shows. But I usually like to tell authors, have very low expectations of your publisher and plan to spend part of your advance on your own PR, because most publicists have 18 books per season to promote. And out of that 18 books, two or three of them got really big advances, and that will be their main focus. So there just aren't enough hours in the day for an in-house publicist to give you the kind of attention that you want. It's not going to happen. So if you can find out, if you can go and meet with them and say, okay, what do you really think you can deliver for me? Like, who are your best contacts? I'm not going to expect the world from you. Tell me the 10 things, the 10 bookings you think you can get for me, and let me go out and hire somebody. Maybe hire somebody you've worked with in the past that you like, you know, somebody you're comfortable with that can go do everything else.
Right.
So
I tried
smart.
That, I'll tell you. With my two publishers, I was with Random House and St. Martin's. And I never once even spoke with my Random House publicist, and we had to fire my St. Martin's publicist because it was literally sabotaging the efforts that my team was working on. And all of the PR was coming in through my end, and she was just, you know, in charge of managing the details, and it was really shocking to me.
Well, that's where having an agent can be really useful, because it's really your agent's job to run interference when there's problems.
Yeah,
that's
and my agent
really
was awesome.
Huh?
My agent was awesome that way.
Yeah.
Well, I think I love what you're saying, Arielle, because I know my experience at New World Library, I did go in and talk with the entire team about what I could expect. And I have to say, I feel like they completely over-delivered. I got so much. They booked me on so many radio shows. They hired an outside PR team. They paid the bill. And I got booked on so many radio shows. I was shocked.
That's
and
awesome.
How much PR they ended up doing.
New World is really not the norm. They are conscious, sane, hardworking, loving beings. I love that whole team over there, Monique and Monroe
Kim.
And all of them. They're just fantastic. Yeah. So you had an unusual experience, so good for you.
Well, and now I'm having a really interesting experience. My book doesn't come out with Hay House until April of 2013, so it's more than a year from my pub date, and they're already booking me with all this PR, which is shocking to me, but wonderful.
Hey, go for it.
Yeah, and that leads me to the next question. At some point, when you're getting a lot of PR, you start to wonder, do I need to start being discerning? Like, should I say yes to everything? Because there's only so much of me, and I, you know, it limits the amount of time that you can be focusing on creative projects or being with your family or whatever if you say yes to everything. Do you have opinions about that?
Well, you know, I think in the beginning you should say yes to everything, because what you want to ultimately be doing is driving people to your website and getting them on your newsletter list. You know, so any exposure you can get to do that. I mean, what I do now is I never do radio interviews longer than a half hour. I can say everything I need to say about my book in a half hour. I don't have an hour to fill somebody's whole show. I just don't have that kind of time because, as I said, I still have a full-time job.
Right.
You know? So I really limit my time. I'll pretty much do just about any kind of interview, but I will only do it for a half hour.
I love that tip. I do. I'm going to have to email my assistant because I love that. Very often they are asking for a whole hour, and certainly we can all fill an hour, but it's a long time to book out your schedule.
Yes.
Love it. I love that because I think it is, especially now in this day and age where there are, you know, so many different internet radio shows and so many different telesummits out there, it's so hard to discern which are the ones you know, is there three people listening or is there 50,000 people listening? What, you don't really know exactly who the audience is. So saying yes to everything, I think in the beginning, like you said, Arielle, is a great tip. And then you start to become more and more and more discerning as you get more and more publicity and as your time gets more limited. Exactly. But for all of you listening that are just starting out, once what you'll find is that once you start getting to a certain level and getting on people's radar for a certain level of circuit, shall we say, you'll start getting more and more invitations at that level until you all the way, of course, get up to the level where you're getting all the national TV shows calling you and wanting you on it. And so it's just a matter of going, you know, rung by rung up that ladder and using the law of attraction, which I know is something that Arielle's used her entire career in every aspect, from the success she's had in her career to having her amazing husband, which she talks about in her book, Soulmate Secret. You know, it is about as your vibration starts getting more and more and more lifted up and your message starts getting out there, it'll start coming even easier to you. So know whatever level you're at is perfect, and it's going to lead beautifully to the next level.
I love that. Arielle, can you talk a little bit about speaking?
What part of it?
Well, so for those who, you know, who would really like to do more public speaking, maybe fill big workshops, speak at conferences, get paid to speak, things like that, do you have any suggestions for how people can get started?
Well, first, be a good speaker. You know, that's the first thing. Make sure that you're really, really good. And get some videos up on a website. And then you need to have somebody on the phone calling for you. You have to be willing to speak for free. Make a wish list of where you want to speak. Offer to pay your own way and speak on their stage. And prove to them that you're good at it. And start booking yourself. There's no, it's a real catch-22 with speaking, because a good speaker's agent isn't going to sign you until you're making good money as a speaker, because they take 25%, and 25% of nothing is nothing. So you first have to book yourself and prove that you've got these fees before a speaking agent will take you. And it's a slow process. Everybody I know started speaking in their local communities at Kiwanis Club and Lions Club and Rotary International and at Toastmasters International, and basically volunteering to speak anywhere they could just to get on a stage. And then by doing that, by being out in the community, they met other people, you know, people who own corporations who said, oh, I really like that inspiring talk you just gave about blah, blah, blah. I've got a company of 30 sales reps. Will you come and talk to my group? And then you go and do it once. And when they want you back, then you ask, you know, well, could you pay me $1,000? And, you know, and then the next person hears you speak. I mean, it's just, it's a growing process, just like building a platform. It happens slowly, and you have to be committed to it.
You mentioned speakers agents, and I know I've been approached by a bunch of speakers agents, and I signed up with a few of them, and what I found in my experience was that all of, like my PR, my speaking gigs came to me, and then I was handing them off to a speakers agent who was taking 25%, and I was kind of like, why am I doing this? And they weren't really bringing any new business to me that wasn't coming to me already, so I sort of haven't been really working with the speakers agents I signed with because we've been doing it all in-house. Do you have thoughts about that?
That's how most people do. They sign non-exclusive deals with agents,
and then they book
most of it themselves in-house.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we've wound up doing. Since most of the business was coming to us in-house anyway, the reason I was signing with these speakers agents is I kind of thought, oh, well, they'll be like going out and hustling business for me.
No.
That wasn't what was happening.
No.
Mm-mm. So what's the advantage of going with a speakers agent then?
Because they get the corporate opportunities you're never going to hear about. You know, Procter & Gamble calls them up and says, we need a female speaker for 5,000 people to cover, you know, changes in health and beauty and blah, blah, blah. And then they go through their list to see who's appropriate, and you're on that list, and suddenly you're offered 10 grand plus all expenses paid. So they can bring you stuff that you'll never get on your own.
Okay.
So for that kind of thing, do you have any recommendations for people that would like to start using a speaker's agent or who maybe are ready? What would you say are the signs that someone's ready for a speaker's agent, and what's the best way to find them?
You, Well, finding the speaker's agents is super easy. Just go on the internet. The big ones all pop up. Just,
okay.
You know, plug in Dr. Phil or, you know, a name like that, and you'll see whose names come up. You should be getting a minimum of, you know, $7,500 per talk on a regular basis plus expenses, and then you'll get the interest of the bigger agents.
Yep. Got it. So it's kind of like by the time you need an agent, they're going to find you.
That's how I've found all of them. All of them have come to me. They've seen me speak somewhere, and they say, hey, I want, you know, can I sign you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just definitely seen that there are a lot of people out there that will, you'll end up getting emails of people saying, you know, hey, do you want to be represented? And they don't, and you don't have any way of knowing, are they really reputable or not? So I guess it goes back to that interview questions, just like what you want to do with PR people as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on a non-exclusive basis, there's no, you know, real downside to being listed with a couple of them. You don't need to be listed with a lot of them.
Yeah, I had one speaker's agent that approached me to speak, you know, to ask for an exclusive contract, and that didn't make any sense if they couldn't promise to deliver a certain, you know, amount of business.
I'm on an exclusive with my agent because she represents Neil Donald Walsh and Greg Braden and a bunch of other big names, and she would only take me if I signed an exclusive deal, but she already had a list of things she could book me at, conferences, Omega Institute, Kripalu. She put together a four-city tour in Europe for me. So there were reasons, and my agreement
right.
with her is that even if something comes to me, she still sets it up for me.
Okay.
And so she's some of the stuff I've said, okay, I have handed off to her, but most of the stuff she's generated for me, and she's a very, very, very tiny boutique little agency who handpicks her clients, and she doesn't have anybody that she's not working hard for, and I just fell into that. She just came to me and said, I want to work with you.
Well, and see, that sounds like it would be totally worth it because then you're not having to hustle for the business. It's coming to you.
Right, exactly.
So for those people that are just starting out, Arielle, I know that you're everything you should know about publishing, publicity, and building a platform. I definitely want to hear more about that program because I know for some people, they're going to want to take an even deeper dive into specifically the publishing world, the publicity world, and the building a platform world. But before we go there, is there any other tips, like a couple of other tips of how people can begin today to create a career as a speaker and an author?
You know, I would say start blogging today.
Okay.
Join Toastmasters International today and start, you know, getting it together as a speaker. You know, create your vision for yourself. Like, what is your core topic? What are you most passionate about? And, you know, where do you see you need support? You know, check out some of the different marketing conferences and commit to going to two or three every year so you can begin to connect with other people and start, you know, building these lifelong friendships with other people in the business. Because what will happen is some of your speaking will come out of that. You know, I get calls all the time from other friends of mine like, oh, I was supposed to speak at this relationship conference, but I've got a conflict. Can I pass them on to you? You know, so you're not going to make those friends, you know, sitting in your bathrobe.
As many of us do.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. Well, so tell us more about the everything you should know about publishing, publicity, and building a platform. And everyone, just so that you know, you can see more about Arielle and about this particular program by going to visionaryignitionswitch.com/Arielle, which is A-R-I-E-L-L-E. That's visionaryignitionswitch.com/Arielle. So talk to us a little bit about this and also about the 21st Century Book Marketing event. I think that'd be probably
sure.
good to talk about those two things.
Well, Everything You Should Know is an all-digital video home study course designed to teach you everything you should know about publishing, publicity, and building a platform. And we cover, you know, how the entire publishing industry works, the must-know secrets to building a platform, you know, the clues to how to become a speaker. And I interview John Gordon, who started off owning a fast food restaurant and earned $1 million last year just in speaking fees and how he did it. We talk about PR, promotion, how to hire a PR firm, how to go out and get big name endorsements, what you need to know about TV interviews, how to actually earn money if you decide to self-publish and sell your book online, things like how to promote your book for TV and radio and print for free and do it yourself, how to write a killer book proposal, how to get a six-figure advance, how to turn your mind into the perfect mindset as a writer, do a whole thing on social media, how to use Facebook and Twitter and YouTube to build a loyal following, how to get your press releases picked up, how to go out and find the right literary agent and what, you know, how that works, and creating the career of your dreams. So it's a whole sort of soup to nuts package, and it also includes things like sample pitch letters and sample press releases and how to leave a perfect voicemail so somebody will call you back. Basically what happened was Mike Koenig, who's a marketing genius, came to me and said, I want to do a brain drain of everything that you know
about
the publishing industry and turn it into a package, and that's what we've done. And then we have an annual event we do every September. This next one, September 21, 22, and 23 here in San Diego. It's called 21st Century Book Marketing, and we bring in all the top experts in book PR, promotion, marketing, and social media sharing what works today to market books. And it's a, as you know, Amy, it's a fun event. We overwhelm you with information, and it's an excellent place to get to know other authors, to start building your alliances and your JVs with other people in your same niche. So that's the 21st Century Book Marketing. And that's pretty much my story. It's I didn't know I was going to end up in this world, but I did, and I have to say it's a lot of fun. There's no more real wonderful group to align with than authors. So that's the scoop.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Arielle. One of the last questions that we want to ask you, it's something that we're asking all of our experts here at Visionary Ignition Switch, is just if you had one homework assignment, one ignition action that you would want to make sure everybody takes away from this call, one takeaway, what would that be?
I would say to really look deep to see if this is where you want to commit your time and energy. Because it's a huge commitment. It's kind of like having kids. You know, you don't want to be on the fence. You know, do you want to get pregnant and give birth to a child and raise it for the next 20 years or not? And if your answer is yes, I'm totally committed to being a speaker, author, expert, you know, then dive in and do it. But if you're kind of like, well, maybe, but I'm not sure, you know, save yourself a lot of time and energy and money, because it's a wonderful career and it requires a huge commitment.
Mm. Beautiful. So everyone, just breathing that in, allowing yourself to really go back in and discover what is that commitment. I love it, because we started with mission and we're ending with commitment. I can't think of anything better. Lissa, anything you want to say in closing, my dear?
Oh, just thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom with us, Arielle. I know it's great to hear it from somebody who has your sort of background, because I think very often when we're going along this path, it's like things like PR and publicity and that sort of thing is sort of something we do as an afterthought. You know, it's like, oh, wait, we have to figure this out. So it's just super helpful, I think, to have somebody who, you know, you kind of found yourself in the world of being an author and a speaker and doing all of that from the opposite perspective of where most of us are coming from. And I think that's super, super helpful and valuable. So bless you. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was great talking to you guys.
Great
talking
to you.
Thank you so
much.
Okay. So it's Amy and Lissa here signing off. Until next time, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.